three quick notes before we start the actual shiur. Number one, the next 2 weeks, I believe some people are away for winter break. At least certainly 2 weeks from now, they will be. So our next shiur tentatively will be 3 weeks from tonight. I think it's Thursday night, February 1st, or the last day in January. 3 weeks from tonight.
February 1st.
February 1st. That'll be tentatively our next shiur. I just have to double check. There's nothing going on that night. That's point number one. Point number two, in the future, if anyone else wants to sponsor, we would appreciate sponsorships in the future. Please reach out to me. The third thing, which is actually very exciting Sunday, it made my day. I got an email from a person who I never met before, and a little Google search didn't help me figure out who he was. He wrote to me that he listened to the shiur on keeping feet together on Wahyu Torah, which itself was a chiddush because I thought no one besides my mother and father listened to the shiur. And he said, I wanted to add on one point. He said, there is another place in Shulchan Aruch where we're supposed to keep our feet together during Kiddush Levana. And it's true. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Taf Chavav says, Tola Einav Umiyasher Raglav. You keep your feet together. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why. You look in the Mishnah Berurah, doesn't say anything, and the Torah, the Beis Yosef, and the Levush, and the Eliyahu Rab. No one says anything. Why to keep your feet? So I emailed the guy back. He didn't respond to me. I think maybe it's really my father was, I don't know, something makes me, making me feel good that they listened to this year. So in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Ben Ish Chai, who says that you keep your feet together in Kiddush Levana like you do for Shmona Esrei. Okay, he doesn't explain why. What? Yeah, maybe, okay, but can you say that about a lot of davening? Maybe Kiddush Levana, I gave a shiur in Shal Shus once about Kiddush Levana. It's like you're being the Kabel, the Shechina, it's the moon and Emuna. Still, it was, I don't know. It was very interesting. It was cool that
now
someone.
We have to see next time we do it.
I can't
the
imagine.
The last time we were here, I talked about Kiddush Levana. He said,
you
do it after
Shabbos,
we should dress
as
we did
that.
That's the Ramah.
You know what? I think I actually do that when I jump, but I don't know, maybe I'm trying to like pogo stick. I don't know. We'll have to look, not probably next Motzei Shabbos, right? Weather permitting, Rosh Chodesh next week. Right, Rosh Chodesh is coming. We're benching the shot. So we'll see. We'll look around. I asked a bunch of people. They hadn't heard of that. It's in the Shulchan Aruch.
I don't think it's common knowledge at all. But what I have seen several places where they have a rakita by Tova Meor Shabbat Elokeinu.
Right, that's also in the Shulchan Aruch.
I've seen that.
Shulchan Aruch says, it's in fact, we're getting a little off topic here. That's why, that's the main reason why we don't do Kiddush Levana on Shabbos. Is because you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos, and the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is to dance at Kiddush Levana. So it's supposed to be a real dance. Okay, I just thought that was interesting and a follow-up point, but that gets us to tonight, where we're going to talk about the bowing down during Shmoneh Esrei, right? And maybe during other parts of davening as well. And I found it to be a very interesting topic. We'll start with it's pretty straightforward when to bow. Why to bow is not as simple. The Gemara in source number one, and the Gemara says as follows: Tanur Rabbanan. So Gemara brachos naflam and dalad amibes elu brachos shadam shocha behen. These are the brachos that a person should bow down. Be'avos tchila v'sof, behoda tchila v'sof. So avos, that's the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, tchila brachat Hashem, and sof is brachat Hashem again Abraham. And Hoda is Modim Menachnu Lach, and Brachat Hashem Atov Shimcha, the end of the bracha. V'imbala Shoach B'sof Kol Bracha Bracha B'Tchilas Kol Bracha Bracha. If a person would like to bow down at every bracha, Milamdin Osof Shelo Yishche. We teach him not to. It's inappropriate to do that. Rashi says it's Mechzi Ki Yuara. If it's Tosvos, it's arrogant to bow more than we're supposed to bow. The Gemara doesn't say why. The Gemara doesn't say why to bow. The Gemara says to bow. And during those two brachos, Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Hedyot, a simple person, a regular person, Kimo Shamarnu, like we said at the beginning of the first bracha in the end of the first bracha, the beginning of modim and the end of modim. Kohen Gadol, Besof, Kol Bracha, Bracha. The end of every bracha. The Hamelech and a king, Tchilas Kol Bracha, Bracha. The Sof, Kol Bracha, Bracha. So a head yot, beginning and end of bracha number one and bracha modim. A Kohen Gadol, the end of every bracha. And a Melech, the beginning and end of every bracha. Why should their bound be any different? Again, the Gemara does not say. Amar Bitzak Bar Nachmeni, Lididi Mefarshali Minei Rabbi Shimon Levi. I have a different take in Rabbi Shimon Levi's distinctions. Hedyot, a simple person, Kemosha Marnu, like we said, that he does not disagree with. Kohen Gadol, Tchilas Kol Bracha Ubracha. A Kohen Gadol, not the end of every bracha, but the beginning of every bracha. Hamelech and a king, Kevan Shekara, once he bows down, Shuv Eino Zokef. He should not straighten up at all. I'm not sure if it means the remainder of that bracha or the remainder of Shmona Esrei. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says there's an Indian to bow down at least bracha number one and modim, tchila, and sof, and perhaps the higher up you go in the hierarchy of Jewish leaders or Jewish spiritual figures, perhaps we bow down more, and the question begs itself, why do we bow down and why is there a difference between a hedyot, a kohen gadol, and a melech? So one approach, which I think is probably the most understood approach, or the classic approach, is that bowing down is a sign of humility. The Eli Rabbah quotes Abu Draham, and we've seen this in a couple of contexts in the last couple of shiurim, that we do a lot in davening to remind us or to help us get to a state of humility. He says, Krios Elu, Heim Kadesha Yiskor Lefnemihu Omeid, V'chi Sofo Lios Afar. We remember, or we remind ourselves in front of whom we are standing, and at the end, we're all going to be an Afar. Now, how does bowing remind you that? Right, you're lowering yourself to the ground, or you're showing that I'm beneath you, right? Rashi doesn't say it straight out, but Rashi explains why a Kohen Gadol does more bowing than a head yod. Rashi says, Kohen Gadol b'sof kol bracha, kol ma shehu gadol b'yoser, tzarech la'achnia u'lahashpil atzmo. The greater you are, the more of a reminder, or the more we need to do to get to a state of humility. That's generally the case. You don't find the poor people or oppressed people or people who are not matzliach walking around with a lot of gaiva. That's just not the case. It's usually the people. So a Kohen Gadol could have a sense of gaiva. Look what he's doing for the Jewish people. Maybe it's even a gaiva to Kedusha, but he could have a lacking humility. A melech, certainly. So therefore, if bowing is to remind ourselves, to represent the humility, the greater a person is, the more of a zecher they would need for humility.
It's a paradox, right? The more he bows down, the more he's showing that he thinks he's great, and therefore he's humility. Right?
You're right. That is a good point. That person could say, "Ah, oh, I needed to show so much humility because I'm so great." But
the other interesting thing is, we don't hear a distinction here between a Talmud Chacham and a head yod.
Right. Everyone thinks they're a Talmud Chacham. No. You're saying, why is the Gemara...
And we always have things we talk about.
A Talmud Chacham, sure.
You know, And here it's interesting that you have the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, but no other distinctions.
Maybe for the reason he just said, a Kohen Gadol and a Melech knows who they are.
Well, a Melech has only above him Hashem, and the Kohen Gadol has, you know...
Interesting.
But you don't have any other distinction like, you know...
Because the other distinctions aren't black and white.
Right. Dr. Lieb was making a good point. The distinction of a Kohen and a Melech is very clear. You, either you are or you're not. A Talmud Chacham already is not. Otherwise, you're right. Right. If you're really a Talmud Chacham, you're going to think you're not a Talmud Chacham. Right. That's why it's called Talmud Chacham, right? Because you're always a Talmud.
But the last time we learned, right, as the rabbi said, he had no qualms in telling his Talmidim that...
You don't have to feel us apply him. Right. That was the Rishoner. Right. The Rishoner said, they said, Rabbi should do Tachanun, and there's no Sefer Torah. He says, I don't know how I'm here. Ich, what was it? Ich dach, I forgot the Yiddish, but I'm here. Don't worry, we could do it if you also plan. Yeah, interesting. Okay. So someone's listening and someone's paying attention. We start. Someone listened to the shiur and sent me an email. We'll fill you in. You can listen online. There's a very interesting Ben Yoyada who has a parish on the Galta. He says, very interesting, a Kohen Gadol goes, Besof Kol Bracha. What is that supposed to remind him? A Kohen Gadol should look at the end of his name. And the end of his name is, what letter? Nun, which represents Nefila. Low down, fallen down. So the Kohen Gadol reminding himself of the Nefila is bowing down at the end of the Bracha. And a Melech goes at the beginning of the Bracha. He's supposed to look at the beginning of Melech. The Melech goes Tchila and Sof. So Tchila is the Mem, and the Sof is the Chaf. Mach is poor, low down. So both the Kohen Gadol and the Melech have a little remez in this Gemara to remind themselves they're in Tchila. But Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachmeni says the Kohen Gadol looks at the Tchila, which is the Kuf, for Kuf of Kfifa, low down. And then he says the Melech, once he goes down, he keeps on looking down. The word Melech, what's interesting about those three letters? It's descending order. Mem, Lamed, Chaf. So the Melech, once he goes down, continues to look down, to look at his name and realize that we're even though I'm a Melech, I'm low down in front of the Rebbe Shalom. The Ben Yoyada, I thought that was interesting, so I included it. So that's one approach to bowing down, is humility. And the more chashuv we are, the more prominent of a position we have in the Jewish people, we need a higher, heightened sense of humility. The Levush, originally I thought he was saying a second reason, but I'm not sure now. The Levush says as follows, Niratam, the reason is as follows, Mipnei, Dahachi kim lehu lechazal. Chazal no. Shekein hu tachsiso shal melech basar adam. This is the way of a human king. She kishem avakshin mimenu tzrachav. When we need something, shochim lutfanav betchila shivcho pam ashtayim. We bow down one or two times before we need something. A person goes to the king and they're gonna bow down. When he's finished and he wants to leave, also a person bows down. The kingdom up in Shemayim patterns or is modeled after the kingdom or the way we relate to kings in this world. And therefore, to model or to pattern after what's done by humans and kings, we do that with the Ribbono Shalom. So at first, I'm not sure if he's saying a different reason. It could be he's saying the same thing. Why do people do that in front of a human king? Also, it's the sign of humility. I'm going to the king. I'm nothing, king. Who am I? I want you to do this. I beg the throne. I'm just a little nothing. Please help me out.
Maybe fear, though.
It could be it's more. It could be we're trying to... It's hard for us to relate to the Ribbono Shalom. We don't see him. We talk to him, but we don't know if he's listening. And we don't know. He doesn't talk back. It's very hard to relate to the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. So you have different halachas put in place and different mishalim to help us get to that state. One of them, what's relatable, what's understandable, maybe not today because we're not living in a place where there's a king, but for a very long time and maybe still countries in the world, what we relate to is a picture of a king. We have Kosh Baruch Hu is sitting on a throne, their picture, you know, that image that Chazal is painting, and you have different things put in place to remind us of the Malchus, which is, I think, to get us in a state of Ema and Yira. So it could be it is the second reason. It's not just humility, it's just to approach a Kosh Baruch Hu to realize we're standing in front of the ultimate king, and we do certain actions to get us to that state. That's the Levush. The Me'iri, also, at first I thought it was a different reason, now I'm not convinced. The Me'iri says, very interesting, Me'iri is a Rishon. Balo Hodiah, this is coming to teach us. Shetzarech Adam Leorer Atzma Bekavana Yisera. It's to awaken a heightened level of Kavana. Says the Meiri, those who are greater, there's a greater level of din on them. Right? We know Moshe Rabbeinu, one little sin, he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud Chacham, maybe not Talmud Chacham. A Kohen Gadol, a Melech are at a higher standard. There's a higher sense of din, so they need more Kavana. But the point of bowing down, says the Meiri, is to awaken our Kavana. Now, first, I didn't understand that. How does bowing down awaken our Kavana? Shuckling, maybe. But how does...
There's a certain concentration, you know, in bowing.
I mean, it wakes you up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You've got to know you got to be ready to do it.
Right. If a person is just standing straight, you can fall. I mean, most people, it takes a real talent to be able to fall asleep standing up. But you lose your concentration. You space out. So if at a certain point in davening we're forced to do an action, you're not. If you bow down, you could bang your head against the bookcase in front of you. You could lose your balance. So maybe it's just a regular action to keep us focused. Maybe. Shemoneh Esrei could be long for. I mean, it depends on how long your Shemoneh Esrei is. So I thought that the Meiri might be saying that the reason it helps your Kavana is because it reminds you of the humility. I mean, it's not necessarily the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Rashi are saying bowing down is a sign of your humility. We're going to approach davening, and the best way to daven is to remember that really up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're nothing.
Yeah, but he's not saying humility, he's saying kavana, concentration.
What's the kavana?
Kavana means that you have to focus, straight focus, concentration, and nothing else but what you're doing right now.
So how does bowing down help you with that?
So maybe what it means is that because people do not normally bow down, so when you're diving, you're doing something so out of the ordinary that it's forcing you to focus.
What am I doing here? I'm not just standing on the train playing Candy Crush.
Right.
So it could be that. I don't think that's that different than what Meir was saying. Right. It could be that he's also saying, and I think the end it might sound that way, that the kavana is to remind yourselves that you're lowering yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that gives if we really thought that I'm just this flesh so full of, it's too depressing to think about, but so far afar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this world and gave me everything, what am I? Well, our davening would be different. Humility happens to be, now, it can be crippling if a person focuses too much. That's why, you know, we know from when we were little, the Torah was given on Har Sinai because it was low down. So remind ourselves, you don't need to be this big, beautiful, massive mountain to learn Torah. You should be humble. So why was the Torah given in a valley? If you want to highlight humility, low down, give the Torah in a valley. It's crippling. Yeah. A person needs to... We are chashuv. We shouldn't walk around all day thinking we're nothing. There's a yid, a Jew, is chashuv. We all have talents. We all have ability. So it could be crippling. But it could be, at times, before we daven, we're going to say, mod demanach nulach. We're going to say... all of davening, we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Parnassa and for Chachma Vadas and for Refuah and for Yeshua and for all these things. Realize our place. And maybe that is the Kavana of the Meiri and Benda. I'm not sure. I hear what Michi and they're saying, and I hear this pedal, so I'm not positive.
If the Kavana could be, the target of it doesn't have to be necessarily the davening. It could be the fact that who you're davening to. Meaning... it's a reminder that you're in front of something more important than.
Right. So I thought that's what the Levush, I thought that was the previous parish. They were modeling what's done in front of a king. Because to realize, we're standing in front of the king. That's what you're saying. We're standing in front of the king.
Right. But the question then is you can do anything to maintain Kavana. Why not jump up and down? Why not, you know. Do jumping jacks. That'll wake you up.
Right, so that also disturb a lot of the other people, and not everyone shows in shape also, you know. No, I hear, but you do something. So this is what Chazal picked. If they would have picked something else, you would have said, why not bow down?
I think bowing though is a form of respect.
Right.
So it's showing, you know, showing respect to others' barakos. So
it has an added element, right? Okay. There's an unbelievable connection between bowing down on the snake, the nachash, which is absolutely incredible. If you take a look in source 8, we're going to skip source 7. The Gemara in Brachos says something very interesting. Amar le Shmuel l'chia barav. Shmuel said to Chia, the son of Rav, Ba Orion, the great one, come, and I'm going to tell you something amazing I heard from your father, Rav. Hachi Amar Avucha, this is what your father said. Kishu Korea, when he would bow down, Korea v'barach. And this is going to be true halacha. We bend our knees and we start to bow down at barach. Kishu Zokef, when he gets up, Zokef b'shem. You get up and straighten yourself up at Hashem's name. Okay. Rav Sheshes Kikara, Kara Kichizra. When Rav Sheshes would bow down, he would bow down like a rod, go straight down. You take a stick and you move it down, it goes straight down quickly and swiftly. But Kika Zakif, when he would get up, Zakif Kichivya, he would get up like a snake and the head come up. And that's his true halacha. We're supposed to, when we get up, pick our head up first, and then the rest of our body like the snake. So we see we're supposed to stand up like a snake. We go down quickly, and we go up, we go down slowly. The Ben Yoyad happens to say that, because when we go down, somehow, we're representing bringing neshama into the world, so we want to do that quickly. And when we go up, the neshama is leaving the world. I don't know what this means, but we're leaving the world, so we want it to leave the world slowly. Okay? Fine. So we have this connection between bowing down and the snake. It gets deeper than that. If you look in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, in source 11, the Gemara says, Shidro shel Adam la'achar sheva shanim nase nachash. A man's spine, after 7 years, becomes a snake. Who's the local chiropractor? Man's spine after 7 years becomes a snake. V'hani mili delokara b'modim. That's true if he's not bowed down in modim. Toso says, because the whole Gemara that we saw just said that what are you supposed to do when you bow down, you finish bowing down, you get up like a snake. So if you don't do that, if you don't do Kriya, mida keneged mida, your back becomes a snake.
Scoliosis.
What?
Scoliosis.
That's okay. So what's pshat? What does this mean? More than that, our Gemara we started with says, when do we bow down? We bow down first at Avos, the first bracha, Tchila V'Sof, and Modim, Tchila V'Sof. So why does this Gemara say that man's back becomes a snake, whatever that means, if we're not bowing during Modim? What about if we're not bowing during Avos? And also, why do we even bow during Modim? If you want to bow beginning and end, so when should we bow? At the last bracha. In fact, we do bow down and we do Osa Shalom Bimrom. We take our 3 steps back and we go this way and we go that way. So we do bow down in the end. So why do we even bow down at Modim? Those are the Torah Chaim's kashas on this Gemara. Number one, why is this Gemara saying, first of all, what does it mean? Our back, what's the Mida Kenegan Mida, not bowing like a snake? You're supposed to get up like a snake. What does the Nachash have to do with this? Why is it for not bowing at Modim? What happened to Avos? The Gemara lists both on equal footing, bowing in Avos and bowing in Modim. And why do we even bow in Modim? If we want to bow at the end, bow during the last Bracha Shmon Hashem. We do that in Osa Shalom B'Meromov. So I put the whole Torah Chaim here in Source 14 on page 3. So he said, it's beautiful. We're not going to read the whole thing, but it's kedai to read. He says as follows. Really, our whole life, our whole existence is one big chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about it. From the time we wake up in the morning, just till 2 hours. I mean, we have enough doctors in the room to know that. And you don't have to be a doctor to think about how we live and how the world and our bodies work. It's one non-stop chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person really should walk around on every breath, on every step they take. I would say every move they make, but you're going to make fun of me. I'm referencing that song. Fine. We should walk around and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the bold in the second paragraph, we'll read a couple parts. He says, V'haya min haroi, it would be fitting, she'yode ha'adam, v'yivarech b'chol es, v'b'chol rega akol psia v'tenua v'nishima. K'mo she'amru chacham kol ha'neshama ta'alaka, akol neshima v'nishima, chayav adam la'alaka. We really should, every breath, we should. We should walk around. And Rav Avigdor Miller used to do this. He used to, every time anything positive would happen, he would just walk around just thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day long. Every time, I mean, every breath, everything that we do is the most unbelievable gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who doesn't recognize that is a person who really is kofer in Hashem. A person who could walk around and not recognize, not realize, not want to acknowledge that is someone who's kofar in the Ribbono Shalom. But we can't walk around and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every breath. We wouldn't be able to live normal, functioning lives. So what did Chazal do? Chazal said three times a day, Erev, Boker, Tzarayim, Marev, Shacharis, Mincha. In the middle of our Shemona Esrei, there's a bracha called Modim. Included in that Modim is every breath we take and every move we make. Amisecha shebuchol yom imanu, v'anifolosecha v'tolosecha, shebuchol eis, erev avokar v'tzarayim, the miracles, the wonders, every second. We bow down during that, says the Torah Chaim, because when a person receives a gift, when a person receives something beneficial from another individual, what's done is they bow down as a sign of thank you. So Chazal said, bowing down during Modim, which is all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be accompanied by a bowing down, because that's what we do when we want to thank someone. If we don't bow down during Modim, what we're saying is that we have no Hakaras HaTov to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or worse, we don't recognize your role in this world. Says the Torah Chaim, there's a medrash about the Nachash. If you look on the bottom line, B'amru b'medrash Rabba, the medrash Rabba says, Al ha-Nachash, Kishaba lepatos es Chava, when he came to seduce Chava, Ba b'koma zekufa, he came standing straight up. Why? What's that vision? It's an arrogance. Lefi, Shaba lichbor bo yisparach. He came to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm standing tall. I'm bigger than God. I'm strong. I'm tall. I'm above God. And therefore, lekach nenash b'mido lecha shchach. His punishment was that you can't stand up. Shenamar al gichoncha telech diraglayim hayolo v'nekatsitsu. He had legs that are chopped down. So he says, v'efshar lomar, it's possible to say, d'mehai taima. For this reason, Misha'eno Karea b'modim. If you don't bow down and modim, what happens? Shidro Nase Nachash. The back becomes like a snake. The Kevan Sha'omi Bekoma Zakufa Veino Korea Umiskavi Lahodos Lo Yisparach HaKol Chasadav. A person who stands tall, he's not bowing down. That shows that he's not intending to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's just saying the words. He's not thanking God for all the Chasadim. Are you kofer bo yisparach? He's denying God's existence or God's role in his life. V'omer lohu, it's not God. V'harehu kemodel adas hanachash hakadmoni. He's really a partner. He's admitting, he's agreeing to the mahalach, the approach of the nachash, and therefore shidro nasa nachash. And that's really a beautiful connection to nachash. It's not just to awaken the kavana and the sign of humility, but it's our chance to really thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He does for us. And when people receive something, they, and maybe not today so much anymore. Now we give a hug, we give a high five, we embrace them. But the bowing down represents that thankful nature, and it's our chance to be thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If it doesn't happen, so then we're like the Nachash and Shidro Nasech Nachash. So it's really a beautiful.
So it's also cultural. Japanese will always bow down when they meet you.
Right. So I haven't been Zocha, but one day. There's more to say. I'm going to just quickly mention, where do we get bowing during Aleinu and Barchu? Where did that come from? Vanachnu Korim. So if that's true, if that's true in Nishmas on Shabbos morning, we say, Ki lecha levadcha nachnu modim. We bow down. In Vayivarech David, we say, Shem lekeinu nachnu modim lach. In Nishmas, b'chol koma lefanecha tishtacheveh. We don't put, so the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you bow down during any of those times, it's not good. So what's, why Aleinu? So the Shulchan Aruch just says, you stand for Aleinu. The Magen Avraham says, he's quoting from the Emek HaBracha, which I think is the Shlaz father, exactly what Barry said. We say Vanachnu Korim, and if you don't, it looks like you're kofar. It looks like you're. We don't want to lie. And there's actually a big question. This would be a good topic for a shir. Lying in our davening, is that okay? You're eating. You're benching in your car. You say. What are we saying? Mentioning?
Don't say that. Shulchan Shachar. What you're saying? Don't say it.
Should skip it?
Yeah, actually.
What about an ne'ilah?
I do.
What about an ne'ilah when we mention multiple times how we're crying? Let's say we're not crying. Should we skip that part?
Well, some of what we read in davening is teaching us how we should.
We should be crying, but we're not.
Oh, we daven as a group. We daven as Klal Yisrael. We always say, you know,
so there's probably some guy in Meir Sharon was crying. I hear it. We say it in plural. Okay, this is not the topic for now. But the Magen Avraham says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Otherwise, it looks like you're being kofar. We don't say things and not perform. That's why the Gemara says anyone who says Shema without tefillin. Right? That's what it is. Is kilu made eider sheker. Because you're saying shartem yos ayedecha, they yotu the false beinecha, and we're not wearing tefillin. So to say banachnu korim mushtachem modim, no, we're not. So therefore, we bow down.
So
that's.
Am I right when I don't say be'al shulchan zeh if I'm not at the table?
This is not the topic for now. I'm not sure. No, I don't know. I think I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I have to look into it.
Your honesty.
In
the topic of lying.
Right. And I really, I'm not sure. I've always been bothered by this. I often am benching not on a table.
Well, I don't say it because.
Right, you bench on an airplane. That's a table, I think, the thing that sticks down in front of you. Okay.
Place you're
right.
They didn't have tables in time of the Gemara. You used to have like little things, you know, since they said it.
Right, maybe your lap is a table and you're eating in the car.
Like you're eating one, whatever.
Right. Okay, so not. We'll I'll look into it. Right. Okay, we'll look into it. I hope to get back to you. During Barchu is very interesting. Any Svardim here? Svardim don't bow. Ravadi has a tshuva. It's here somewhere. Svardim don't bow during Barchu. A lot of them don't even stand during Barchu. The Ber Halacha was the Mishnah Brura. He says, "Ayin b'magen giborim." In source 22, "Shadolchek limso tam laminog shenagwa olam lecharab barchu." He tries very hard, rather unsuccessfully, to find a reason for bowing during barchu. Ulam be'emes yesh laminog zeh smach min amikra. There's a hint for this minog from the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Kapitel Chavtas pasuk Chav. What does that pasuk say? Vayomer David l'cha akal, Baruchu na es Hashem Elokeichem, Vayivarchu ka akal Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. So David said, bless God. They were Baruchu God. Vayiktu, Vayishtachavu l'Hashem v'lamelech. After they said Baruchu, they bowed down. So based on that, the Be'er Halachos, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim says, we bow down in Baruch Hu. Okay, Svaradim don't. That doesn't necessarily say you have to. It says they did. Fine. What about Baruch Hu during laning? And we're getting an Aliyah recently. You bow down during Baruch Hu laning?
No.
So I'm going to be honest. Eschata'ay ani maskra yom. Whenever I get an Aliyah, and I've had more Aliyahs in the last 15 months than I had in the previous 15 years.
It's just a good guy over here.
Yeah. It's actually never at the main menu. No, I'm kidding. I get Chazak Aliyah Baruch Hashem. I get more Aliyahs. But I don't know why. I was thinking about this when I was preparing this year. I do like a little hedge your bet, kind of like right. Kneel down a little bit. This way, if anyone sees you not doing anything, they'll see you doing something. But I don't know. That's just what I've always done. But now that I'm the rabbi, I guess I have to be more careful and I have to know what I'm doing. So the Aruch HaShulchan says not to bow down. Aruch HaShulchan says not to bow down. It's in Source 24. He says, V'dosh nogin l'chra ma'at b'amiras baruch hu, v'lo k'kriyo sh'b'shmona esrei. You don't have to bow down as much as Shmona Esrei, but you should bow down. V'nachonu. Va'afilu l'fi ma she'izbar b'simon kuflam etes, d'l'kriyas ha'torah ein l'chroa, in davening one should not, mikol makom b'shas ha'tfila korea, v'chein ha'minhag pashut. The minhag is pashut to bow down during Baruch Hu and davening, but not Baruch Hu of laning. There are those who don't bow down even during Baruch Hu of laning. There's the Svardim or Ravad Yosef as a tshuva, source 26. You can take a look at that later. In the Sefer Pesukei Tshuvos, he quotes the Gra and others who also say not to bow down. We don't want to overdo it, like the Gemara said. If someone wants to bow down, b'chol bracha bracha, we teach him not to do so. The Aruch HaShulchan later does quote those who do bow down during laning, and he says they would do that because of Kavod HaTorah, but our minhag is not to do so. So I guess there are those who have the minhag to do so. It's a sign of kavod to bow down, but Aruch HaShulchan says the minhag is not to do so. But I never really knew, and it's the beauty of the shiurim. I'm trying to understand what I'm doing. I never really knew, so I would always kind of do like a halfway type of thing. I don't know.
Of course, it happened. Though. You're used to those words. And you found that because
for me, it was more. I just do want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. just funny,
being. Question: the Baruch Atah Hashem by Muggy and Abos on Friday night. Bow or don't bow?
Interesting. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But it's
saying that's
Hashem.
Like
that could be the only exception.
That's the Chazaras Hashatz kind of Mariv. Interesting.
As any, in the Aguda, someone wrote bow there.
In the Siddur?
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking of other places where you bow. I didn't think of that.
That's the only Baruch Atah Hashem I can think of. We're, I thought you don't bow, but that could be wrong.
It's funny. The same way I've gotten so many aliyahs since I moved here, I have davened never. In the Aguda Siddur, it says bow. Fascinating. I don't know. I don't hear a daven recently. Russell, you davened last week, didn't you? Friday night? A couple weeks? No, it was Mincha. Didn't you down recently? I don't know. And do you bow down there? Interesting. Okay, I'll look into it. Shalom, everyone, again, for those who came in late, my close student, Gabby Barishan, got engaged tonight, so that's why I was in Teaneck. So we thank him for getting engaged. We get the Duggies. B, the next year will be, hopefully, 3 weeks from tonight, the next 2 weeks, winter break, people are away. We're not going to meet in 3 weeks from tonight. And if anyone would like to sponsor future weeks, please reach out. Everyone have a good night and a good Shabbos. Are there people who did not have a Marv? Okay, we'll have a